LGBT folks are raising an eyebrow over the announcement that actress Angelica Ross, best known for playing Candy in the TV series Pose, will be hosting a presidential forum on LGBTQ issues with most of the top Democratic candidates running in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Seems like fun, but Bernie Sanders won't be there. And many wonder, why is an actress getting into the mix? We're just hoping Candy will drop the hammer.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to look at why people don't realize Angelica Ross is more than qualified to host the U.S. Presidential Forum on LGBTQ and then some issues, and what kind of questions we'd ask the candidates.
Plus, Merriam-Webster announces that it has added they, the non-binary pronoun, to the dictionary.
Whitney Houston is returning from the dead as a hologram to tour Europe.
And comedian Cameron Esposito wants the readers of the New York Times to know that she's single, ready to mingle, and way too famous for Tinder. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Can you guys all hear each other?
Never gonna give you up. Yeah, everything works.
Never gonna give you
down. Please do not rickroll our audience.
Yeah. Don't do that. They're nice.
I don't think anyone who still listens to this podcast remembers what rickrolling was.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me? Honey, they skew young.
Yeah, exactly.
They're younger than you.
Exactly. And rickrolling was like 10 years ago.
And you're fresh out of the cradle.
Yeah, but I know a lot of old shit for weird reasons.
Because you're a 50-year-old Jewish man and trapped in a biracial...
Late 70s. Late 70s.
And whatever you call your body.
Yeah, but fragile. They're both very fragile.
All right, folks. Our guest is the hilarious Matt Brown. We're talking today about Angelica the Boss Ross.
Love taught me.
Who has been announced by GLAAD to be moderating the presidential debates for the Democratic candidates, with the exception of Bernie Sanders, because GLAAD sucks and can't get it together to get them all in the same room at the same time.
Because you know Bernie Sanders likes some black girls. It wasn't personal.
He would have been there.
You know he's watching Pose and he's just like, ooh, I want to hang out with Candy.
I am for sexual equality. It's very, very on those, very on those lines.
So a lot of people are very outraged because they think of Angelica Ross as the actor who played Candy in Pose. Mm-hmm. Wonderful television show. But a lot of people may not know that Angelica Ross has even a bigger background, not just in acting, but in activism and in taking money out of white men's pockets. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking as a dancer, as talking as an activist organizing the Trans Tech Summit. And you know who the number one supporter, sponsor of the Trans Tech Summit is?
Tell me more.
Peter Thiel, the Republican gay Trump supporter who made his money through PayPal.
Nice.
Damn, girl. She knows where the bodies are buried and she knows where to get the money. Mm-hmm. So if you want Angelica Ross on your side, this Democrat, anywhere in this world, because Angelica Ross is a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, oh no, Angelica Ross is Hollywood.
Do you realize how tight your pussy has to be to get money out of a Republican?
And when you're a black transgender woman.
I bet she doesn't even use her dilator. She's just like, it's just airtight. Like, you can't get shit in there. Not even a script.
So, but also, that was also held at Groupon, too. So it's like, you know, these are two major players in the tech world. And, you know, the Trans Tech Summit is trying to get trans women involved in the technology because, you know, a lot of them are already very tech savvy because they do the webcam shows. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. And so a lot of them, like, they know how to troubleshoot and they know how to program. It's a great money-making job. And that's the goal of that, is to lift a lot of the people out of poverty.
She got Peter Thiel of PayPal. This is true, folks.
Is he the one that signed the check, though?
PayPal paid for
it. I'm sure they probably have a pretty big LGBT.
Usually my money goes to PayPal for those fees, not or spending bullshit on eBay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go the other way around. Mm-hmm. She got PayPal to pay T.S. Madison, one of our favorite people in the world.
God bless her.
You know, large and in charge, T.S. Madison, to come to Chicago to be in Cooking with Drag Queens with us. Yes. And to stand there at Groupon, and she's standing there, and she's telling this room full of trans young people, 520s makes 100.
Yes, I do.
And that was her mantra throughout the year, because you know what? five 20s make 100.
I am loving that. And so
the moral of that story is you can sell your pussy for cheap if you're willing to fuck everybody. That's what we've learned.
It was $20 for a blowjob on the street.
The moral of the story is that sometimes small change can amount to big change.
Mm-hmm.
And don't lose despair and keep eyes on the prize, right? So 520s makes 100.
There you go.
I still say that every now and then, you know?
It's so beautiful. Yeah, and we love beautiful. T.S. Madison should be our next president, but in a perfect world. However, so now people are really frustrated and mad mm-hmm. about this. And Lady Bunny, she called me on the phone. She's mm-hmm. like, why is Angelica? She was outraged mm-hmm. about it. I said,
that an actress would be the person that would do this kind of thing. And, you know, we explained to her, it's like, listen, she's an advocate and this is what she does. And she's just like, well, I wish they had put that in the article.
Yeah, because GLAAD's mm-hmm. organizing it. And I guess there's a new study that says that LGBT media, and let's clarify what LGBT, what we mean by LGBT media. It's people, it's, you know, old queers like us mm-hmm. who go to the bars, who are part of the community and not some college intern working for a cisgendered heterosexual corporation who mm-hmm. doesn't know shit. They may know who was the top three drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. but that's where it starts and ends.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who Angelica Ross is except from Pose FX. So these news organizations are disappearing at an alarming pace.
Oh, big time. And when you go on HuffPost and like you go on the right and you click the gay voices button, don't you think it just goes like, hey, like, don't you think, cause they have a black voices hey, and like a gay voices, they have every kind of voice you need.
They don't even have a publisher. I don't even think they've kind of abandoned it. So they'll still stick stuff in there, mm-hmm. but it's not like anybody's actually working on that. They're just like, does that tag work for that article? Then mm-hmm. put it in there.
So yeah. I'm turning the platform on to you guys, the mm-hmm. listeners. And I asked on social media if you could ask the top Democratic candidates mm-hmm. anything, a question that would really push them forward on progressive issues or show them for the charlatans that they are. What kind of question would you ask them? And people were just like, they were like, what if you could be an animal in a gay zoo, what kind of animal would you be?
Oh my God, what would you be?
If you could shit and throw it at anybody, how much would you shit and who would you throw it at?
I'd be a flamingo, I'd be a powerful, beautiful flamingo. But honestly, like, what kind of question would you ask the Democratic candidates?
What are you going to do about climate change and when? Mm. I honestly kind of don't care about any other question because you can fix everything else. But if the planet's blown up, it doesn't matter. Mm. Like, if you fix the tax code and get it all down to 200 pages that we can all read and understand, are we going to die in 15 years? Like, priorities. We have to put first things first.
The thing about environmental, responsibility, environmental equality is what we're really talking about here. Is that you want to have people politically active and engaged. And I think if we're not meeting the physical needs of everybody in the United States, mm-hmm. then you're going to have the most corrupt, the most oppressive, and the most toxic politicians making decisions that are not in the best interest of the environment. And that's part of the reason why mm-hmm. we have Republicans taking charge. Because Jimmy Carter and a lot of Democrats way back then, and I love Jimmy Carter today, but Jimmy Carter back in the day moved Democrats away from unions, away from progressive grassroots stuff. And now in 2019 with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, now we're getting back into, you know, the working people, the people who are marginalized, the people who suffer. That's who we need to bring the Democratic Party to. And any kind of question that you ask those people has to be talking about those things. Or otherwise, candy hammer, it's hammer time.
Hammer time. Jimmy Carter did put solar panels on the White House with Ronald Reagan tore down. So, like, he was trying a little bit.
But see, the thing about it is,
I think Jimmy Carter got his Earth Day. Maybe Gerald Ford.
When you do a deal with the devil, don't be surprised when the devil fucks you over.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have always been the devil. And people are just like, well, we need to, you know, be centrist and we need to, you know, Americans are. And it's like, yeah, the devil is everywhere. The Republicans are the devil. Mm-hmm. And you don't make a deal with the devil. You put the devil in a box and you nail that shit shut. That's what you do.
What people don't understand is, oh, we need to be centrist. So we need to be centrist. The average American citizen is like three steps away from like full on fucking socialism. Like the average American citizen's pretty far left of center.
I mean, we all want, most everybody wants universal healthcare. We want paid, you know, university or even student loan forgiveness.
We need to stop calling it socialism in the first place. It's nationalized healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's nationalized education.
Oh, now you're a nationalist.
Oh yeah. Like, you know who.
And part of it is, look, we all have these nationalized institutions like the U.S. Postal Service. That we like the U.S. Postal Service. That's how we get our T-shirts available at feastoffun.com/store to you guys.
Well, and the only way we're going to get that is if people go out in and vote en masse and we make this into law, because there's just such big money out there. And it's not even, we're just dealing with the wealthy elites here in the United States. We're dealing with the wealthy elites throughout the world.
Yeah.
And the rich people have always known how to control the lower classes.
And if you care about like the things that like, you know, these national projects that do make our country, our country, the post office, Miss Gay USA, like all the things that really like define us as a culture,
like, You know, Angelica Ross is going to pull out a hammer and chase Joe Biden out of the room.
Oh my God. You know, he can't run that fast.
He could be.
Oh, he's God.
Like, did I pick you up somewhere at some point in time?
Joe Biden's old racist ass. He just turned around and say, are you a shadow? Like, he would have. He would not know what the fuck to do with his 73-year-old ass.
So Curtis wants to know, will you promise to make the passage of and signing into law the Equality Act to finally provide federal legal protections for LGBTQ Americans a priority for your first 6 months? I'm confused what the question is already.
Yeah.
The Equality Act. They want to make sure the Equality Act goes through and gets signed. That should be like a no-brainer. Just do it.
It should be a no-brainer, but like, I really kind of think, like, do the like laws actually do anything?
They do. They absolutely do. For sure. Because then you can sue these people and then they'll think twice about doing bullshit. Because they'll be like, if I can get away with it, if I can screw you over, they will.
Curtis wants to know, will you promise to immediately restore funding and research for HIV/AIDS cures and treatments that involve fetal tissues?
Oh, take your prep and kill your own baby.
Too late for him.
I'm tired of Oh, yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. Just take both of your blue pills.
Wow. I wonder what they'll have to say to that.
Can I use prep for abortions?
Well, they kind of have prep for abortions, don't they?
Yes, that was in the last season of Orange is the New Black.
That was post-exposure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
don't give it away.
I don't want to give it away, but one of the characters figures out how to sneak in an abortion pill from one of the inmates.
Oh, God bless.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
We just watched it.
And I gotta tell you, it's like, when did Americans start hating Latinos so much? Latinx so much?
Well, I don't know. When did I meet you?
But it is like, I grew up, with Ricky Martin and Jennifer Lopez and Rita Moreno, and everybody just loved Latinos and Shake Your Bum Bum. And now it's like, put them in jails and send them back.
You've seen West Side Story.
Yeah.
People hated Latinos then.
There were gangs, but
gangs.
But no, people love Latinos because West Side Story was made. It was one of the most popular musicals. It was celebrating not just our culture, but our music and our sensibilities and this diaspora that we experience.
I blame Bill Clinton.
You think Bill Clinton did?
Yeah, because in the early 90s, he's the one who tightened up like all of our immigration policies and like put like, I think he had like $7 million put towards Border Patrol, which Border Patrol is like not even been around that long. There's this quote of him in a speech saying like, we've had enough of people. Bill Clinton said this in a speech like 93 of saying, we've had enough of people coming to our country and taking advantage of our history of generosity and kindness. You motherfucker. You motherfucker. Where? When you were killing the Indians, when you were interning the Japanese, when you were turning a blind eye to what? Like, just let me know.
Oh my God.
Let me know.
And Republicans were actually in favor of making immigration easier. Reagan and George Bush the father.
Well, and also Reagan was a big, big fan of it because, you know, they're all about, because the whole like Mexican conversation in this country has always been a labor conversation, mm-hmm. because up until the 40s, they just got work visas whenever they wanted for them. It was like applying for like, it was like buying a plane ticket.
Oh, really? Like, just come in and just work?
Yeah, because you were, because it was always under the expectation of like in 4 months, they're all going to go back. Mm-hmm. Because I'm actually studying this in school right now, actually, funnily enough, there's was actually a lot of welcoming of like the Mexican population that mm-hmm. was, you know, sort of already there in California when Manifest Destiny happened. Like it was sort of a thing of, we will let them be there, because the quote was that I saw was that Mexican people were not thought to intermarry in the same way that black and white people did. So it's like they were safe. They'd stay to themselves. You can just keep them in a corner and they'll be fine. Like it was a very weird language of like how they would describe these people.
This is a new thing. And to me, you know, George Bush, the son, George W. Bush, he's the one who started all this like three-letter acronym fascist organizations mm-hmm. like ICE that are shooting people when they don't have the authority to shoot people, and going, you know, they shot this one guy with a gun and he went to his lawyer's office to file charges mm-hmm. and then they arrested him in his lawyer's office. Mm-hmm. there's no right to trial because you're not technically a citizen. And ICE all over the nation is arresting American citizens who don't have a driver's license or don't know what their full name is or have a hard time getting a birth certificate. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, prove it. Prove that you're an American citizen. They're mm-hmm. like, I don't know anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's really messed up.
Well, the flip side of it too, it's, you know, there's people held at the border. There's people not being allowed to come in too, but there's also people that are here undocumented. And so their conditions are very unsafe because they might be working for somebody that's just like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You're under my control. You're absolutely nothing you can do. I'm your boss and you take what I give you. And that's it. There's no protection. And what do you call a worker with no legal protection?
A slave.
Yeah.
An indentured servant.
So in many ways,
a sex worker. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would say a slave, you know, but they might not be experiencing the transatlantic slave, you know, the terror of that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. It's controlling people against their will.
And so can you phrase that in a question to the Democratic candidates?
Mm-hmm. When you going to be chill with the Mexicans? can we do it like that?
What would you, and this is a serious question, like, what would you ask Joe Biden if you had 10 minutes of uninterrupted time with him? It's like, I would ask him, would you please drop out? That would be great.
I'd ask him if he ever drove a woman into Chappaquiddick, or was that only the Kennedys? Because young Biden was hot. He seems like he could have gotten rid of some pregnant pussy in a lake once or twice. It seems like something he could have done.
Seems. What would you ask Joe Biden?
What would I ask him? I don't, you know, please drop out. I'm not interested in his centrism. And I think that part of the reason he's even running is I don't think he thinks he's going to get the ticket. I think that we'll see a surge with Warren and Sanders in mm-hmm. Iowa. But I think that he will eventually drop out, and he's just doing it because he's a good Democrat, and he also wants to make some money along
there
the way.
There you go.
You know?
He has a couple books and a speaking tour to do. My real question for Joe Biden would probably be, can I please have Hillary Clinton's cell phone number? That would actually probably be
what would you ask Hillary Clinton if you called her?
What's up? Like, I just want to hang out with Hillary. I feel like Hillary would actually be a good hang.
What did you think about her art piece in Vienna where she stood at her desk and read her emails?
That's fucking hilarious. That is on the same level mm-hmm. of Yoko Ono screaming why for 7 minutes straight. It's just performance art.
I wish she had done it during the election or something like that. Mm. You know what I mean? Because then people would have like, it would have resonated a little harder or something, or people would have just been over it, because I think that did her in more than she understands.
What I think this social media generation has really sort of made people aware of the fact that they're doing shit for after they're dead. Like, that's a legacy act. That's not because Hillary Clinton wanted to. That's because she wants that picture to be a part of her New York Times obituary slideshow. Mm. Like, people are very aware.
Rather than her failed election bids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you ask Bernie Sanders? He's right now currently...
He's not going to be on it. He's doing some kind of...
Yeah, but if you get his undivided attention mm-hmm. for 15 minutes with Bernie...
What's your fucking emotional issue with a comb? Could you just let me know? Did your mom beat you with a hairbrush? Did you have, like, a teacher tell you that your hair was too unruly and Jewish? Like, do you have some sort of weird emotional traumatic history and system that evolves you from not being able to comb your hair? Like, what the fuck? I am so confused.
What's with the obsession with the word socialism? Because...
Part of it is from the 60s.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, sure, we're social. What, you know, you don't know what that word means.
You, are you saying that Bernie doesn't understand what the word socialism means?
He's a see, the thing about it is this.
He may know better than you, Fauster. Just
progressives and conservatives. The word they used to use in the past was liberal. But now the word liberal means like liberal centrist, like Hillary Clinton. So which is really a another word for conservative. Mm-hmm. So you can't use the word liberal to insult somebody anymore. So now the word liberal has been substituted with the word socialist. But it's the same thing. You're like, you care about people, you want equality, and you want people to live a healthy, good life. Well, That's what the word socialist means. But it's not really what it means. And when we're talking about healthcare, we're really talking about nationalized healthcare. Mm. We're not talking about socialized. Socialism is when the workers own
everything.
And that's not what we're talking about here at all. So I think Bernie Sanders actually does his progressive platform a disservice. And Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, Hillary Clinton, Lady Bunny.
I get them so confused.
Easy to confuse.
You have a very narrow definition of what socialism is.
Yeah.
But I think they're using that term as a scapegoat.
They would
term.
Like to call him a communist is what they would like to do. Mm-hmm. But and go ahead and call him a communist,
you know.
And some of them do, I'm sure. Yeah.
They'd like to call him a dirty Jew to his face. That's really what they mean by all of it. That's really, really what they all mean by it.
Elizabeth Warren, what would you say to her?
When are we going to change the hair, mama?
So it's all about their hair.
Like, I'm very
shallow.
She's
a woman, so you have to talk about the way
But I started with Bernie's hair because, like, you know. Like, I personally don't have any questions for her because if I have questions for her, I can read her website because she has all of her policies clearly written out in public where you can just see them. Mm. So, like, I would want to talk about simple things. Like, so what was the Native American bullshit about?
Yeah,
so,
what was up with that?
Talk to me about your hair. So, like, just let me know, like, who are you? Because, like, I kind of want to get past all, because, like, we get it, you're a genius. Mm-hmm. Like, we get it, you know how to fix everything. And someone might allow you to do that. but, like, let's just talk about the woman. Let's just talk about who's in front of me right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to her about her student debt forgiveness program, because I think hers is different than Bernie's, right? Bernie's just like everybody, just it's done.
They're done.
And I think hers is like to a certain percentage or something like that.
I think with Elizabeth, it was like the first, if you make under 100K, your first 50K is forgiven, which is like fair and reasonable.
I just want to get somewhere, you know. Part of it is like right now we're dealing with the torture of babies in cages. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and part of it is the bars have been set so low that we're just. We're suffocating as a country. We're desperate. And that's why anybody reasonably supporting Joe Biden is because, and this is what everybody that supports Joe Biden says. It's not because they like Joe Biden. They don't like his policies or whatever. They just feel like he is the only candidate that can defeat Donald Trump.
That is not how you think in a primary.
That's exactly what you don't do at a primary.
That's precisely what you don't do in a primary. You vote for what your issues are and what you believe and what is important to you in the primary. And then past that, then unfortunately you have to toe a party line.
And the same people are saying this. That's what got us Trump in the first place.
Yeah, because everyone voted for Hillary because they thought, oh, well, Bernie will never win. I wish I could have seen them debate each other.
It would have been good.
Smoke would have come out of someone's ears.
What do you think about Kamala Harris? And right now, according to the New York Times, she's in fifth position in weekly news coverage, but she's dropped down to a polling average of 6%. So she's down quite a bit.
I'm going to start with something nice because that's what my grandma always taught me to do. I'm not really sure if it's a sew-in or a blowout, but the hair is nice. Mm. I haven't gotten in with like an HQ picture to like stare at her hairline like I do with every other black woman on the face of the earth. But yeah, whatever's going on with her hair situation's laid, it's taken care of. However, I can't handle Kamala because like when she's on the debate stage, like she's still using her on the phone white person voice. And I just really want her to just like roll her shoulders back and talk to me like she's at home with a glass of red wine and a cigarette being like this motherfucker. Cause you know, like she has that. Cause like Obama and Michelle didn't really get black till like year 6 out of 8. If you noticed, I would like
What's
come
that
up.
Supposed to be
like, okay. Michelle was
they
just
were
like
too formal.
Yeah. They were very, very formal. And then suddenly like near the end of the second term, Michelle could like fucking lip sync to Missy Elliott and Biggie on Late Night. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. Mm-hmm. If they'd done that in 2008, there would have been no election to mm-hmm. speak of. But I would really like maybe the next black candidate to one, not be biracial, and also just sort of start black and not have to grow into it. Because it's just sort of, we're better than that at this point.
Well, with Kamala Harris, her outrage, her sense of justice, her desire to prosecute Republicans and make them accountable for their crimes is very urgently needed in the Senate.
I agree.
And I worry that she might not be in that position if she continues to fighting for to become the Democratic
She'd candidate. Be a bomb ass attorney general. I would love to see that. Her on some Bobby Kennedy shit, making some fucked up phone calls in the middle of the night. I'm down.
Marilyn Monroe.
Because I'm also down to see that shitty Lifetime movie in 20 years. See, I like the reality, but I'm also like thinking about what I want.
Your favorite candidate, Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, God, that queen.
Right now, he's not even able to run as governor of Indiana, because there's now another openly gay candidate running for that job.
And he's cute, too.
And he's more progressive, and he has a healthcare platform, which Pete Buttigieg still doesn't have.
I don't even think they'll let Pete Buttigieg play lotto in Indiana. Like, he's just not welcome. Like, fuck you and your scratch off.
Well, the thing about Pete Buttigieg is that he's such a... He's
spineless twat.
No, he reminds me of somebody who's like wanting to preach forgiveness and reconciliation and healing. And right now, we're not there yet.
No.
We need to fight. We need to punish. We need to make sure this does not happen again.
Somebody needs their ass beat, but he wouldn't understand that because he was in the closet during his ass beating period, because they like to hide. The white fags like to join the military and join a church and hide. Like, it's... It's all about, let me get my fat wife and these three kids and pretend I'm straight. Like, I'm tired of everyone.
Mark, what do you make of Pete Buttigieg? My mother's in love with him because I think to some degree, I remind her of him. Like, you know?
I know some people that have seen him up close and personal, and they say he does have a good butt. They're like, it's a nice little firm, full booty.
But so then you think about Chasten's face in it, and then you throw up all over your house.
He's a little bit too of a moderate for me, you know, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have enough policy out there yet. But also, too, it's
Would you ask him, though?
Oh, what would I ask?
Yeah,
him? I'd probably try and come up with some question in Norwegian and ask him that. Huh. Say something very dirty to him.
Yes. You know what I would actually ask him? How has being gay shaped your actual daily life? Because I bet he doesn't have a fucking sentence. I bet he doesn't have two fucking sentences.
He's the kind of person who will say,
and that's just his asshole.
And then skipping around.
He will probably say things like the expression blankety blank, who happens to be gay. And it makes me
retch a little bit. And I'm also, too, I'm deeply concerned out of all the candidates. He has like 19 billionaires.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, are there that many billionaires out there that are going to support this one candidate?
And here we are doing this podcast on our own. You know, you guys are very generous listeners, but where's the billionaire?
I just want somebody with a defined benefit plan to buy my fucking weed. I'm not even asking that much. Just a nice accountant who I go to your apartment, drink your wine, and leave.
What's your Venmo? What's your Venmo?
Matt-Brown-1998.
People.
My PayPal email is brown.matthew23@gmail.com. And if you just want to say, baby, I love you, you can do it on Instagram at Matt Brown Comic.
Okay. And dick pics to where?
MattBrownComic@gmail.com. Because I have not gotten another whole pic.
No?
But it could happen.
It was a nice one, though, wasn't it?
There was like four of them
from every angle,
quantity over quality.
I also want to give a shout out to Zach Stafford, who's the editor in chief at The Advocate.
Yes.
He's a former guest of this podcast many times, and he's going to be one of the moderators for this. So she's hosting. He's a moderator along with a couple of other people. So
I want Matt Brown to be there.
Yeah, so I can just show up like a motherfucker. Joe! Like, I'm just like, talk to me about 1991. Say it with your chest.
Take a job from a black trans woman.
Please. Oh, God. That'll be the day. Because, you know, they're way more popular than I am right now. Oh, because I wear the eyelashes, but I don't do the they, them, I'm a woman meh thing. So, like, I'm not popular.
Well, interesting. You can now. It's in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Merriam-Webster has now put they into the dictionary.
They, them. Quickly, Beto O'Rourke and Andrew Yang Although
Beto's actually going to be there. He's still in it.
He's still in it.
Beto looks like a guy who would talk to you at a bar and then you would literally go to the opposite end and hide. Like, he just seems like he would give you the most uncomfortable social energy.
Mm. It's a shame that Andrew Yang is not like more popular, because I do like how progressive he is.
One of my friends really likes him.
Yeah. And he's been pushing for universal basic income, which is the idea that as automation and technology replaces more and more jobs, we just basically have to, you know, give people money in order to survive and exist.
Beto's not on my list.
He's not. Okay. No, okay. What about Cory Booker?
That faggot.
He's a vegan and he's single. And I'm just like, why are we even talking about
it? Wasn't he pretending to fuck Rosario Dawson?
They were dating. Yeah. Are they dating?
I don't know. Maybe she wanted to find someone who wanted to stick both fingers in her. Like, I don't know, because he seems like quite the young lady. If you ask me, Cory Booker's been a young woman for a long time. I don't really think that might be our first gay president if he plays it right. But once again, does the next black president have to be light skin? Like, do we have to do this, America? Can we just not do the whole colorism thing, part two and flavor. Three? Authenticity.
So, but aren't maybe you being colorist like by you
know? We already did pigeons. That. Obama was mixed.
Well, but aren't you being colorist by saying it's like, oh, he's too light skinned? No.
No.
Because we already did that.
Exactly. That, so I don't trust quota. Light skins anyway.
You have a quota for light skinned black presidents.
Yeah, it's only one or two. Like, I'm going on a date with a mixed guy this week. I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, it's never happened before.
You're worried about it?
Yeah, because I've never gone out with a mixed guy before, ever.
Is he lighter than you?
We're about same complexion. He might be half a shade darker, but we're pretty close.
Just be careful if he pulls out a chain and a padlock and says, I want you to wear this on your neck. Okay. And tell people you belong to me.
But my chain hang to my dangle-lang. Like, it could be
fun. Do you see that? Like, we live in a gay neighborhood, and I go to the beach or the grocery store or to the gym, and every now and then I see a gay guy with a chain, like, you know, hardware store chain, which probably has some toxic metals that are leaching into your skin. And has a master, you know, padlock on his, like, a chastity necklace.
Yeah.
And I asked my friend who I said, I was like, what does that mean? He's like, I'm a pup and this belongs to my master daddy. And I was just like, this is some fucked up shit that, you know.
I used to see that a lot when I was in high school.
You don't like it?
No. I used to wear it as a fashion statement. I used to wear that as a fashion.
When you did it, but now that they're doing it, it's no
longer. Young people having more fun than me.
I was a stupid kid, and I was like, this is kind of fun. And then I fucking, you know, you're wearing a chest. This is going to suffocate you. It's going to choke you.
Well, like, okay, for starters, I'm black and we can't do that because there are still parts of Africa where women just have giant plates in their bottom lip so they can't talk. So, like, we don't.
Is that why they do that?
Yeah, because their husbands don't want to deal with it. I don't really see that anymore, but I used to see the leashes and the chains way more when I was in high school, which is really funny because this is like Taylor Swift's heyday. So it was always like, why can't you see you belong to me? And they're walking around on leashes. It was fucked up. Fucked up.
What? I mean, you know the people that in our lives that wear the chains and the padlocks.
What about it?
What do you make of it?
Listen, that's the if they want to wear it, they can wear it. I'm not judging.
But the thing about it is,
the idea is like they're kind of like owned by somebody else, and it's like they're not going, like, if they're going to play, they might
sexually be active with somebody else.
But everybody's different. Rules are different. You can wear that thing and be as big a whore as you want. But other times it's like, no, that's a complete symbol of like, I have to check with him, or, you know, you can't pre-check. It's like each incident have to check, or I can't fool around with you at all. It's like a wedding ring for some people.
It's very Disney to me. It's like his kiss unholds the key. Like, it's like all of this. Like, it's very like, if I just lay still and don't move, maybe someone will love me. Like, I don't get it.
Jane Seymour, who played Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Yeah.
She's made a killing making those kind of like jewelry.
Oh, those ugly upside down hearts that look like someone's ass.
Because all this stuff, all these Christian fundamentalists love to like promise their love to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what those chains on the necklace, it just strikes me of heteronormativity.
So chains around the neck remind you of a 15-year-old giving someone a promise ring?
Yes, it's exactly. It's the promise ring for gays.
I've never been that gay, and I've been gay for a long time. Mm. That's
And to me, I'm just like, you know, this is something we need to re-examine. I was just saying. You go wear it, but I'm going to be looking at you going, mm-hmm.
I was so jealous of all those girls in high school who got a promise ring, though. I was so jealous of every girl who got a promise ring because I couldn't get like a nigga to buy me a pack of gum. Like, I wanted anything.
You wanted a promise ring?
Please. I take one right now. Oh. Even if we'd only gone out in 3 days.
A friendship bracelet?
Give me fucking jewelry.
A selfie stick. Promise selfie stick.
I need something I can pawn, Fausto.
You could pawn that. It's from World of Wonder.
I already have $7.
RuPaul probably touched it some point in time. I
touched that up.
If she didn't put it up our ass and sign it, I don't care.
Well, the thing about it is it's as LGBTQ people make progress in visibility, our relationships are going to get more complicated. And I think to some extent, we have expectations of who we are based on what we would like those relationships to be. And I tell this to every single listener, you are as unique. You know, Mr. Rogers said, there's nobody else like you in this whole world.
Mm-mm.
You are a beautiful, unique person, and that will never change.
Amen.
And those relationships that you form with people throughout the course of your life are also going to be just as unique as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's between you and that other person or group of people. To, if you're a Mormon, to determine what that's going to be. And it's not for anybody else to judge, you know, not even me to tell you, you can't wear a hardware store necklace with a padlock on it.
Now, I firmly believe in everyone's right to do what they want to do and what makes them happy. I firmly believe in my right to judge, because I think if you're tough enough to wear a fucking chain, you're tough enough to not listen to me. So grow the fuck up. Pick one. You either got real big dick and a real big balls or you don't.
That's true.
Like, I'm sorry, because it's sort of to me when people are like, when people who are like, are like Nicki Minaj has like 400,000,000 fucking Twitter followers. And like, she has like Grammys and like number one songs and all this. And she's like, someone said I had a bad wig 3 years ago and everyone should go set their house on fire. It's like, can you just be secure?
Didn't Nicki Minaj just retire from pop music this past week?
She pretended. She says she's going to talk more about it. Honestly, she's fucking a convict and that unemployed dick that with no credits, real good.
Guess who that is?
Who?
Is that me?
Okay.
Is it Camilla Parker Bowles?
Who is that? This is a photo from a party of Arabian Nights, and there's a person in brown face. Mm-hmm. And Fausto asks, is that me?
I
can't
think
see it. I'm looking at it from now. The angle. It looks like me.
It's Justin Trudeau.
Oh, I didn't notice the person in blackface.
This was just released in like during the taping of this podcast. He came across my Twitter feed, and Time Magazine just released a photo of it, and he's running for this year. So
you see, when you do what I do, and you just don't trust white people in power on site, you don't get upset over shit like that. You're all just like, could have told you in 2012. Like, you just just walk away with like your head held high. Mm-hmm.
Well, our friend Cameron Esposito, who you guys remember was a regular on Feast of Fun before she met Fame and Fortune and became a television personality on the internet, is written an article in the New York Times about her divorce to comedian Rhea Butcher, whose name is not in the article, which I think is very weird. Because
the name was on the marriage license.
It was on the marriage license
for sure.
The divorce papers. And I understand that, because I've been in that situation where I went through heartache and I split up with a boyfriend and it was really painful. And I made a lot of art about it and that experience. And for me, it was like really important to respect his privacy by not putting his name, but nobody knew, you know, outside of my circle of friends, who my ex was. Everybody knows who Rhea Butcher is. So not, you know, because they had a TV show together, Take My Wife. And please. And in this case, she erased her wife.
Basically.
So in the New York Times, Cameron has been,
they're a they.
Yeah. So can you read a little quotes from this? Cause it's an interesting thing.
There's so much to dissect.
It was on our Instagram feed. Like we were targeted to read this article about Cameron Esposito.
You're the people who are supposed to want to care.
And I care about Cameron Esposito. She's somebody I consider part of the Feast of Fun family, and I want her to succeed. And everything we say here, we say it with the comedy roasting wink.
Because we're all haters and lovers.
We love you, but you know, we're also winking and giving you a bit of a roast, because sometimes you earned it.
Okay. So with that being said, I thought you had to win like a fucking Emmy for your divorce to make the New York Times. I thought you had to like win an award and have like a lot of money and like really have like, you know, fucking impressed a lot of people and have like a net worth and like four homes and shit. Like,
well, she might be, maybe she's connected. She knows somebody there. They're like, hey, I need to let every lesbian in the world know I'm available.
There you go. There you go. And yeah. Then the other thing that she kind of,
not only that, but she advertised it because she can't go on Tinder. Which no. She can't go on, you know, Raya. She can't go anywhere. No. She's like, I gotta.
She's fucked. She's too famous for Tinder now.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just.
What have, do lesbians do? Do lesbians have like a grinder?
Her. It's called her.
It
her.
Is?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like Hinge if you've ever been on Hinge.
Okay.
It's like Hinge, but only women.
Hinge is where the booty judges bet.
Really?
Yeah. Unhinged. Gosh. You know, Cameron Esposito has her business card mm-hmm. says purveyor of fine jokes. And divorces now.
I can't stand anyone who's in this room. Not even me.
Like, you look in the mirror, you're like, why am I still in love?
Like, well, I'm pissed at your dog.
She's confused, though. I mean, she's the one that got divorced, but yet she writes, and I hadn't rushed into marriage. I waited 13 years and 10 girlfriends to marry the person I thought it would be.
Thank you for letting us know.
How popular you are, how many women you've had, or preferably until we croaked simultaneously at 90, holding hands and listening to Tegan and Sarah.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
What is it that you said when marriage equality was moving forward and we're like, we're going to get it. Lesbians were saying gays.
Yeah.
We're going to ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. It was always this narrative. Cause I remember all the shit that people would talk about gay marriage. Cause like I was 6, 7, 8 and figuring out I might've liked to suck something. So I was like paying attention. And whenever we were on TV, it was over marriage. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was always this conversation of lesbians or straight women being like, you know, all these lesbians are wanting to get married and they're raising these families and adopting these children from Africa. And it's so cool. But I just think these gay guys, all they want to do is fuck all day and they're going to ruin marriage. And all I keep seeing is like Rosie O'Donnell on like Wife Number 4 and then like Cameron Esposito on like I waited 38 years and I still didn't know who I was marrying or whatever the fuck. I didn't really read that detailed to see what the emotional journey was. Doesn't interest me. Like, I just think it kind of tends to be a natural impulse that once you get rights, you sort of go all in. But I really feel like it's the lesbians that are like hitting it, quitting it and like losing their net worth overnight every 5 seconds.
So you're saying that women who form relationships with other women for marriage tend to do it more on impulse than other people do?
Yeah, because gay guys just tend not to enjoy each other as people, which stops most relationships from forming. Mm. Like, they'll fuck the shit out of each other, but it's like, oh my God,
you're 60% of gay men are single.
Mm-hmm. 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 But that figure would never hold up for lesbians because like they're like they have a lot of shit taken care of that we still need to
well,
work
the solution
on.
Is just gotta marry Mark Phelan.
Oh,
it really is.
I'm taking offers.
I've been trying.
And so then she goes on to talk about like how her first girlfriend, they were watching all these people get married in 2004 in Massachusetts where she went to school mm-hmm. about to graduate. And she's like, should we just do it? And the girl's just like, no. So cooler heads prevailed on that day, yeah. Of course. And then another time, and actually we did meet this girlfriend. I think it was the only girlfriend of hers that I actually think I ever met. And she was South African. She was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she, like Charlize Theron, South African.
Yeah. She actually, yeah. Did she meet Charlize Theron?
I think they were at a lesbian pool party somewhere.
Yeah, she was in South Africa and she met Charlize Theron.
She was hanging out with the Terminator.
It was the Terminator lady. It was the okay. chick who played the Terminator.
Okay. Yeah, so we were like, what if like a lesbian, the Terminator came back and was just a lesbian comic. Mm-hmm. And instead of like turning her hand into a sword or something, she just turned into a dildo and start pleasuring herself.
So that was
the premise of the yeah. show we did with Cameron Esposito. You can listen to it. Just search Cameron Esposito on feastoffun.com.
Mm-hmm. It's there.
Where is this thing not working? There we go.
Never. And so then, I could have married her, but she got deported, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have stayed with her in South Africa, but, you know, my comedy career was coming. And so, like, I decided to do that. And, you know, at 35, I was ready to get married, thought I was getting ready to be married and mm-hmm. got married. And lo and behold, now I'm divorced.
Mark, here's a question we get asked. Mm-hmm. You and I are in the spotlight. We have been scrutinized and masticated,
sexualized, spit on,
and
elevated, fucked in the ass.
And people have tried to talk slapped. Us out of being in relationships with each other. more importantly, like your fans write to you and they're like, why are you still with this monster?
No, not
whereas
so much.
My fans write to me and they're like, can you get me nude photos of Mark?
That's so sweet. Yeah.
And why do you think that we've been able to survive our freshman year of fame and other couples don't?
Oh, you want me to compare my relationship to her relationship?
Yeah. Why not?
I think, you know, there was...
why not?
Okay, first you have to start that sentence with as a lesbian, and then you can continue.
As a lesbian.
Thank you. You know. Thank you.
Well, I think, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know the only really, I don't really know the relationship.
Because they took every bit of advice we gave them. We say to people, do a project together.
Yes.
Stop sucking and shopping and go on vacations. Do something together. Shared interests, mm-hmm. form healthy relationships. Yeah. But in this case, it wasn't mm-hmm. enough.
But also, I know it's like, you know, it's hard work to do that kind of stuff. And often mm-hmm. it doesn't really make much money. They did that project for CISO and everybody was like, CISO what? And, mm-hmm. you know, and so it didn't go anywhere. And so it's like, it's hard doing what they do and it's hard doing
what we do.
And I'm just, you know, I'm thankful for the audience out there that does take care of us. So I don't know. It's difficult. But I have concerns, though, too, because, you know, you and I came together as equals and we did this podcast together. It was a group effort, you know, and
Cameron I do all was the her, work and he Cameron takes her, all the credit.
Cameron was her teacher. You know? And I wonder if it's kind of like when she's like, did I just get me too'd for the past 8 years?
And then power and age and all that mm-hmm. other stuff on top of it. Mm-hmm. Like it complicates the narrative.
And then, of course, when you're both kind of like seeking fame, is it going to be, you know, A Star Is Born mm-hmm. all over again?
Is it a rat race to the top?
There's no real personal journey of, well, you know, it's just she's just kind of like wondering, hey, I thought I was going to be married. Now I'm not. But you know, Cameron knows the reasons why she's not married.
And I also
it's not in this article.
And I so don't buy the article because this is someone who prides themselves on their mm-hmm. stand up going so deep.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so you're just going to do not going to tell me a goddamn thing
about
like the most traumatic thing that's happened to you the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, are you saving it for your act? Are you saving it for you? Is there a book I don't know about? Do you get off on being withholding? Mm-hmm. Like what's going on?
To me, it just reads like a personal ad.
Yeah,
like, I'm single now and ready to mingle. Because the other thing,
and I like rich Jewish people in New York. Because who else is reading New York Times?
Maybe she's helping some rich, powerful Hollywood lesbians. Like, oh, she's single now. Well, maybe I'll get her involved in one of my projects.
I'd love to see that haircut between my thighs.
And you know, if that is the case,
yeah.
She is the most intelligent person I've ever met.
I wish I could put myself for sale like that. That's like a level of no shame that I really wish I could possess. Because, damn, mm-hmm. that's real.
And the other thing, so too, is like,
if that's what
you
it
know,
is.
We don't deserve an answer.
No,
I don't expect we're not an answer.
Send it to me.
But when you come up with this kind of bullshit, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong.
But it's a very lesbian thing to do. Like, even mm-hmm. if they are like not performers whatsoever, like when lesbians mm-hmm. break up, they both write a really long Facebook post to let everyone know. But like, so we're going to be splitting the contacts of our bookshelf together. And if you want to come by the apartment.
Too, sometimes too.
Oh my God, we're so bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Cause all my gay guy friends are younger.
Oh,
yeah, no one's like living.
I'm at the age
boyfriend.
Where I'm seeing people where it's like, you know, their 20s and 30s who've longed for a boyfriend for a very long time, get the boyfriend, act as though it's like in the last forever, and they're so head over heels, and it's Facebook update after Facebook update, and then you're just like, oh man, they're mm-hmm. like, they're putting so much into this. Like, you know, you hope for the best, but you know it's gonna end. And of course, it does end 2 years, like 6 months later, 5 months later, a year later. They're just like, I thought he was the love of my life and we'd be together forever, and now he's gone.
And you know how you prepare for that, Mark?
Oh.
Okay, see, you can try this tonight. You can try this tonight. Okay, so when your mate, when the love of your life, when whoever you're so like deeply enamorado, whoever you're feeling that with, when you're laying in bed next to them, if you wake up in the middle of the night and they're still asleep, just like look down at them and smile and pet their hair and say, you're going to leave me in the middle of the night. And you'll be fine when they finally do.
Oh.
You'll be fine when they finally do.
That's a terrible thing.
You're going to run away in the middle of the night like a rat. Like, it's just, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine when it happens. You're mm-hmm. preparing yourself. Mm-hmm.
Can a side mullet find love in the New York Times?
No! I object. Overruled. Denied. Law and Order SVU. CSI Impact. Whatever the fuck. No.
You know, the lesbian police is going to come and arrest us.
I hope.
Because we didn't do this
sacrilege
with that lesbian coffee shop talk about a fake beat. How's that go with it?
Well, just the snaps never anything's funny.
They're just going to give you a fine that doubles every 90 days.
This is the year of my life when I put an Alka-Seltzer into a LaCroix. to see if the extra bubbles would help with the nervous indigestion. I downed a dose of my dog's CBD oil during particularly bad insomnia. It's not very poetic.
It is very New Yorkans poetic.
I guess in some ways, this is what I was fighting for.
This is what I was fighting for.
To be queer and human.
Oh, boo-hoo. Let's all clap and have a fucking parade, but just for you. Your face on a fucking float, and we'll just run it through New York City for a year straight every day.
I just wanted to be a queer human.
You're alive and you're awake. You're a queer human. You're welcome. Next. What the fuck? Oh, my God. Why does everyone want me to come to their house and shake them? I don't want to beat no one's ass. I just want to grab by their shoulders and be like, are you serious?
Oh, dear.
Like, I just get so tired.
Listen, Cameron's going to be listening to this.
You really think so?
Her friend of a friend of a friend of hers.
Somebody
might. Someone's going to listen to it. They're going to clip it out and they're going to send it to
her. They have machines that will like search the audio files of things.
I hope.
So
I hope.
What would Angie's listening?
I'm linking to that article.
What would you say? What would you like for Cameron to learn from our wisdom, our experience, if she's listening to us and says, okay, you faggots, what should I do instead?
Keep your private business to your goddamn self and maybe don't put your next relationship on every form of social media that exists. Just a thought.
When your art is live,
just a thought.
It's fair to, and you're going through some hard times. I think it's okay, you know, to talk about your painful life in your art.
Big time.
And if you're a public figure, and you've always invited people to go with this journey that you have. I've had the listeners go with the journey of me dealing with really bad skin cancer on that chopped off part of my shoulder. And other people were like, how can you put yourself out there? And I said, because I want other people to learn from my mistakes, from my struggles, from my wisdom, from my triumphs. And I want to make my audience, which is my family, my friends, better for it, for my pain and suffering. And I think that she's trying to do the same thing with it. And part of it is, I think Los Angeles and Hollywood is a very difficult place to be when you have unfinished homework waiting for you at home. And every person that we know that we love has struggled a lot with their personal relationships when they moved to Los Angeles and are hustling to make a big career for themselves in entertainment.
I don't feel
it
bad.
It is demanding for their soul, if you want to call it a soul, for their psychological well-being to be doing that, because auditioning is hard on your spirit, and your partner isn't aligned with you. That's going to make your make or break your relationship.
Yeah, and if you're touring, if you're going on tour, if you're out, you're not going to see the person, and you need FaceTime with somebody.
And then on top of that, if you are successful, if you do get something, if you become a Rue Girl, or you get your own CISO TV show, everybody's going to tell you.
No one's getting a CISO TV show.
No one anymore. But if you get your own web streaming show, everybody's going to tell you your shit doesn't stink. And you come home to your spouse or your boyfriend or friend who tells you your shit not only stinks, it didn't flush down the toilet. And then you're going to go, well, I'm going to divorce you, friend, spouse, and I'm going to hang out with my fans because my fans love me. And why can't you treat me like a stranger on the street would treat me?
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Because I am not one of your fans.
I love how we
in front of the press.
We were both Faye Dunaway.
Yeah,
I love that moment.
Well, I'm actually channeling Christina Crawford.
But you were Christina, but in the beginning, both did Faye Dunaway
because I fucked up the quote.
Indeed, and I fixed it for you because that's what I'm here for.
That's
baby.
What friends do.
I'm like a Michael Cohen. I'm your fixer.
I am really, and I just have to say, I'm really blessed to have Matt Brown in our lives, because in my life. And I know Mark feels the same way. Maybe he doesn't. Actually, he doesn't feel like this at all.
Mark spit on me the first time he saw me, and nothing's changed.
He liked it, though, right?
What are
a
you?
A little bit.
Who are? What is it, and what is it good for?
I called him, and he just picked up the phone. State your business. Very, very, very businesslike.
And I'm just glad that, you know, we're able to talk so... talk about shit like this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't want Cameron to feel like
We're mocking her.
I
want her to be a better person and to grow from this experience.
She's thinking is like, listen, I'm in Hollywood. Everybody, my life and my career has been so married and tied to this person. Mm-hmm. It's over, and there's no important details you need to understand.
Yeah,
and that it's, we're just moving on from here, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I guess you know, in some ways, I mean, so, you know, if I ever were to divorce Fausto, or he would. For whatever crazy reason, go to divorce me. Mm-hmm. I would
find that said crazy.
You know, I would have to make some kind of statement. I would think in some ways. And the thing about it is, though, even though she put this out there and it was a sponsored post, and so it's getting pushed out into the world, mm-hmm. there's still going to be a lot of people that don't see it, and yeah. they're still going to ask her in 2 years, and it's going to hurt then too. It's mm-hmm. going to be like whatever happened between you and your wife.
On tomorrow's podcast, comedian Rhea Butcher comes on and talks about her relationship.
There.
Oh, sorry. There.
Oh,
sorry.
Shit.
Relationship with Cameron Esposito. Just kidding.
Just a possibility.
That was another thing, too, is I felt it was weird she'd ever introduced me to Rhea.
And Rhea was in Chicago all this time.
Or told Rhea, hey, maybe you should go on this podcast.
I don't know. I didn't introduce
maybe
my boyfriend
like
to a lot
you.
Of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But he's a nobody.
Well, keep private things private. Like, yeah. I think a lot of people end up learning that shit the hard way. Okay. Because also, the other thing that... I kind of got the vibe off this article is that it's very like, I'm the only person who's ever gone through a breakup before. And then also every gay comedian does this. I'm the only gay comedian on the face of planet Earth. Mm-hmm. It was very like both of those things at the same time. It's just like, could you please just get like a reality check and like join the rest of the planet, please? It's never too late to join the human race. It is never too late to come back.
Listen, it's a hard hustling as a comedian, as you know, full well, yeah. is a hard gig, especially when your jokes aren't funny.
Oh, that you went in. You went in.
I saw Cameron's last show. The one she
it
did.
Was good.
I think it was the show before this past show, and it mm-hmm. was absolutely fantastic. She was at the top of her game. I had very few notes for her.
You're a bitch. Well, I don't really know.
I just said work that bit a little.
There you
longer.
Go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Longer.
And like I've never seen Cameron live, and I don't know. It's none of my business. I don't need to. But
you're evil.
But, you know, okay, I will say something positive. I will legitimately say something positive. Cameron's done a really nice thing of opening up a lot of opportunity for people in Chicago to at the very least use her name. Mm-hmm. Because she'll come back to town and let, like, 8 people open for her. Just so that way they can put on their website and put on their credits when we talk to people.
I open for Cameron
Esposito.
Well, she's smart because if you have all those people open for you, they'll hopefully bring some people so they'll actually be people mm-hmm. to show up to see your show.
And she's also really smart because then if everyone's sending that on their booking emails next month, the credit doesn't mean shit. It's like oversaturate the market.
Smart.
Yes. Okay. It's been worked wonders for us.
Make it happen. Mm. Keep on dancing till the world ends.
The most important news item that we need to talk about, which is whenever Matt Brown is woken up in the middle of the night, he says these two words.
Ooh, Whitney Houston.
And you thought Whitney Houston was dead. Mm-hmm. We saw the Whitney Houston documentary and it shook me to the core.
Mm-hmm.
I quit smoking crack.
You just put it cold turkey. Good.
Yeah.
Cold
it was turkey. The worst 3 hours of my life.
Because the hour of reflection really is what did it for you.
Crack is cheap.
I make too much money to ever do crack. I spent $725,000 on crack. Show me the receipts.
I had 3 coworkers arguing over which drug did Whitney Houston like to consume the most. They were like, was it cocaine? Was it crack or crystal meth?
Okay, black people don't fucking do crystal meth, so let's start there.
And I said to them, she didn't do any drugs. And they were like, what? You're crazy. I was like, show me the receipts. They did not know what the phrase show me the receipts comes from.
They didn't get the joke.
They had no idea. So maybe there's a future for Whitney Houston as a touring hologram. And I guess there is, because it's been announced.
An evening with Whitney, her sister-in-law, Pat Houston, who's a longtime manager of hers. They've launched the tour. And it's all going to be in Europe. And she put out a statement that says, Whitney's not with us, but her music will live with us forever. We know we made the right decision partnering with Bass because they understand how important it is to produce a phenomenal hologram. They are also known that engaging her fans with an authentic Whitney experience would resonate worldwide because of the iconic status that she created over three decades. Her fans deserve nothing less because she gave them nothing less than her best.
I think if you want an authentic Whitney experience, you would have needed to do it before 2012. I think I'm just going off.
Probably well before 2000.
So her last tour was not as bad as everyone says.
Oh, really?
It's not as bad. I can show you videos.
Is this going to be some, you know, Nick Jr. level Peppa the Pig CGI animation garbage?
Wouldn't that be great if she like wrote in on an animated pig?
Oh, please, please. It's like, you know, Whitney and Peppa.
For people who are familiar, like, a lot of children's television employs computer-generated graphics that are really crudely rendered. And I'm just one, like, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood continues as the Daniel Tiger Adventures. But there's, you know, they're three-year-old kids. They're not going to notice the difference. Mm-hmm. So it's all really crudely done CGI. Well,
but I noticed how shitty Whitney looks.
And will they be able to tell the difference?
Well, they chose it from like a late 80s kind of look.
Okay. Oh, well, the thing is, you have to take it all apart because
that's not right. But it's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to make it anyway.
That's what she said.
Yes, she did.
Crack cocaine. Sing it like that. It's not right. It's okay. No, crack cocaine.
The actual song is It's Not Right. What was the parody I wrote? It's not right. It's not okay, but I'll suck it anyway. Pack your bags up and leave. Get those 4 inches away from me. Anyway,
Cameron Esposito's listening to this right now going, you are making a fool of me.
Just a little bit. That was literally one of her best albums. But
it was fabulous.
When you like look at the pictures of Hologram Whitney, it's like it's a 2005 wig with a 1998 face. And then a 1991 outfit. It's like all of the Whitneys together, and like it's
a Franken Whitney.
Yeah,
I imagine she'll have like an outfit change or something during the show, right? Because it's got to be real easy. You just press a button, and it's a new Whitney.
And she goes, basically, crack is whack.
Show me the receipts. The rebate.
Show me the receipts.
I mean, honestly, I would much rather you guys make fun of her like drug habit than like her like sexual like history, because she very, very much didn't like the lesbian jokes. Like, emotionally she could handle the crack jokes, but, like, the lesbian stuff really bothered her.
What? How do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, because there were always, and I mean, I'm sure they were true, but, like, it was always the conversation about Whitney and her best friend, Robin. Mm-hmm. Well, you, like, dedicated your first five albums to her. I'm sorry you're gay. But, like, she sort of...
She had a hard time accepting that.
Her hairdresser said Whitney would do anyone. She's like, she liked sex. She liked sex with a lot of people.
She always talked about how horny was she was for Bobby, and if you're horny for Bobby Brown, you're probably just horny.
Well, that's the weird thing. Like, I'm watching Orange is the New Black, and they have these characters smoking crack or meth or whatever, and I'm like, why are they having sex? It's so hard for people when they're to me, it's like, if you're going to be high, you're going to want to fuck.
Not all drugs, though.
Some drugs.
That's the thing about it is, it's like, when are you ever going to be high and not want to fuck something?
I don't know, because, like, I don't really think black people do crystal. I really don't think that's, like,
but even crack, like, I'll tell you this story. We were young in college, you know, I was, like, 19 years old, and a friend of mine worked at a laundromat, and she brought home some crack. She probably bought the crack. And she didn't want to smoke it by herself, so she turned to everybody in the room, and she's like, let's smoke this crack together. And we're like, okay.
There you go.
Because it was in the 90s. And she pulls it out, and we're all smoking it, and we're like, wow, this really makes you feel
great.
And the women all got up, went into their bedrooms, and started turned on their dildos, and it was like the whole house was...
Yeah, no, because it's just like, it's the biggest rush you'll ever have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Kids don't do drugs. But if you do, make sure you have
Whitney.
Pick a Whitney and fuck somebody.
I mean, listen, there are a lot worse things you could do on drugs. You get on PCP and just run naked down the street and not use your dick for shit. So, like, I mean, if you're going to get it out, like, be productive and creative.
I just don't know if this is going to be something that American audiences will fall for.
That's what I'm interested in. All the dates are all in Europe.
It's Mexico. So it's Denmark.
Do you think that there might be legal aspects to it or something?
Well,
who knows?
There could be legal aspects to it. There's also the fact of Whitney herself didn't tour the United States after the year 2000. So it could be a lot of like they don't know who her live fan base is here anymore. I could very much see them not knowing how to target them because she did a tour all throughout Europe in 2009, 2010. So like that's still 10 years, but that's still just like that's still somewhat recent marketing techniques. That's still, you know, within like our digital age 2000, there's not even like records you could probably get for a lot of shit. Like people have thrown stuff from 20 years ago away.
For sure.
Yeah.
Matt Brown. Show me the receipts.
I would, but they've thrown out everything from the Civic Opera House in 1999.
Do you really keep would. The receipts like when you go get a, you know, ice cream cone or a Subway sandwich at 2 a.m?
I keep. God, I'm
trying to think of embarrassing things.
Other things, other embarrassing That's biracial like moments.
Jussie Smollett, who for some reason Dave Chappelle calls him Juicy
Smollier.
Smollier.
God, that Dave Chappelle special was
when I
funny.
Saw that, was I was funny. Like, it was so I was funny. So like shocked. I was scared because I was like, have I been mispronouncing his name all this time?
I really like the way Dave Chappelle defended the Kevin Hart joke. I got it. I was down.
What did he say about it?
He basically said, like, the joke is.
Oh, the house. You went to buy the
Yeah,
doll
the
house.
Joke is funny because you have to buy the kid the house to beat their ass with it. It's like an inversion on the old, like, go get a switch for me to beat your ass with. It's like an inversion on that old
go
joke.
Go buy a dollhouse.
Yeah. It's just bringing it in.
I thought the joke was implied that the son was playing with his sister's dollhouse. So it didn't make sense to me.
Or that the kid, bought it at a garage sale and didn't tell his dad.
Like, you're going to be 8 years old. And just bring an entire dollhouse, sneak $4. Like, there's so many moving parts of unrealisticness that's why it's fucking funny. It's absurd.
I'll tell you, I sat and listened to that special and I was laughing my ass off.
It's funny as hell.
However, Mark has a really good point. He says it's the same tired old jokes over and over again, but presented by a master craftsman of comedy.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. If the entire trans community would just stop giving Dave Chappelle any attention, he would shut the fuck up. The only reason he's done 3 specials straight with nothing but trans material in the middle of them is because he's shown that that can create a big response. That's going to get everyone to write. That's going to get everyone to watch.
That's why we're talking about
it. It's like why my white mom always said about blackface. If you tell them they look good, they'll stop doing it. Like if it really offends you, tell them how good they look and they'll stop. Like it's the same.
They didn't stop.
Do you want to call Justin Trudeau and tell him how good he looked?
Well, I don't know. I'll let the Arabs take care of that. I feel like they're a lot better at messaging.
Oh, Matt.
I let everyone do their talents.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
Matt Brown comic. Available where?
On Instagram. I don't do the Twitter anymore, but I believe the day this episode should be going up or very shortly thereafter on September 20th. I have a show at Laugh Factory at 10 p.m. Sashay. It's the gay show. And then if you want to see the rest of the things I'm doing. Oh, also, since we have possibly some vegan fans, if you're here in Chicago, I actually am doing a show at a vegan restaurant called House of Zaw on Thursday, October 10th at 8 p.m.
Will you be doing Cory Booker jokes?
I might bring up Cory Booker if he's still even like a relevant part of the race, because I would like the idea that there is like some black man out there in a position of power that I could just with one phone call make him go even balder and tell him I'm his kid. So like I want Cory Booker's hairline to start at his beard, like just nothing, not even on the back of his head, like just none of it.
Oh my God. If you can find them anywhere. Hey guys, I'm posting up new videos on YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun. And if you want to see them ahead of time before everyone else does, videos of me with some of the world's top bodybuilders and physique models at the Arnold Expo.
Some good eating there. Some
really good eating.
Mostly Mark, ass.
My generous husband did not put down the camera and pounce on these gorgeous men.
No.
As we were filming them talking about a candy bar, a protein bar that tastes like a birthday cake.
It tastes real good.
I'm still offended you didn't ask any one of those straight guys to twerk. Like, not one of them. Because they so would have.
I know. So would have. You got to come with me next time. Do you want to go to, like, an expo with a video camera?
I'd have to wear, like, sunglasses and a wig. But
how good are you at, like, being on off the cuff and interviewing somebody on the spot?
Oh, I literally did that for 2.5 years at Laugh Factory every other Monday. That's, like, what my best skill. Like,
well,
me.
You just said 5 seconds ago that you would wear a sunglasses and a wig, meaning you would be so nervous about
doing No, I wouldn't be nervous. I just wouldn't want them to like recognize the true beauty. Like, I want them to
be too intimidated.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a little costume to make them feel more comfortable.
And then also, if they think they're talking to just like cousin it, like if they won't, they'll just be fine with whatever. They'll be fine with whatever.
Let's do it. Let's go someplace.
Thanks, cousin it.
So, guys, you can watch some our videos, tomorrow's videos today at our patreon.com/feastoffun for just $1 a month. You can be the first kid on the block to watch Cooking with Drag Queens and a bunch of other stuff.
Yay.
Yes, slay queen. Yes. You got the idea.
Insert stereotype here.
Yes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.